Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Tuesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. We all woke up this morning to Joe Flacco becoming one of the top 20 passing yardage players in history. His last couple games, he's moved past both Johnny Unitas and Joe Montana like we all thought he would.
And Charles, as you know, just elite numbers there from Joe Flacco. Really good to see last night.
Last night, that was pretty bizarre. That game was – I could not imagine the Patriots trailing like that in the fourth quarter. But the world, you know, was corrected. Good to see the Patriots get themselves back where they needed to be, and obviously the Jets get themselves right back on track for Trevor Lawrence.
Last night was a great night for being on a morning radio show and having to just go to bed. Great night for that.
No doubt. How you guys doing today?
Oh, we're doing very well, Charles. And we want to start with a big matchup this week. Obviously, Titans fans very excited about Thursday night football. The Colts and the Titans this Thursday. What do you make of that matchup and how the Titans, what their chances are against the Colts?
Well, you know, the Colts are interesting. They've been definitely a team that's a little more up and down than you know, I thought they would be. I thought, you know, they'd have found some consistency with Jonathan Taylor by now. That hasn't really happened. You know, Phillip Rivers has been up and down. It's a hard team to peg. You know, I wouldn't be stunned if the Colts, their second half schedule is tough. Like it's kind of a meat grinder. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Colts end up being a team that, you know, kind of hits the skids in the second half of the season and ends up, you know, falling out of the playoffs. But I think at the end of the day, what's going to matter for the Titans, you know, Rivers, I feel like the Colts, when you watch Rivers, you can tell this is a team that's going to have to draft a quarterback because Phillip's making a lot of the same mistakes that he was making, you know, with the Chargers. He's good for a couple bad interceptions. You know, if he can have a good game, but the next game he'll throw under triple coverage. You know, his athleticism was never really great. I think it's kind of hitting an all-time low. It's definitely a very winnable game, you know, for the Tennessee Titans. And I think when you kind of look at the Titans schedule, you know, I feel like this is one that I guess when I look at the Titans and I think about the second half of the season, you try to think about, you know, how can this team really get better? You know, where are things going to improve? And I know we've talked about Clowney in the past. I feel like if that knee injury, has consistently, you know, he's obviously hasn't been in practice. It's clearly something's not right there. And if you got to shut the guy down, to get him right, you know, you just got to do it. And you're going to have to figure out a way to obviously, you know, generate some kind of a pass rush or something, you know, without him and moving on from Vic Beasley and, you know, figuring out, I think you got a rookie first round pick on the offensive line. You got to get him, you know, ready at some point in the set. Like, that's a guy who's got to play at some point because you need some depth there, you know. And I think this is really where it starts. I mean, I think this is where the fine-tuning starts for Tennessee. Start load management with Derrick Henry. It's just, I think this is where you dial things in as far as how you want to be, you know, health-wise for the playoffs and you know, what players you've got to start to get some production out of. And I really do. I think when you look at that offensive line, you got to get something out of the kid you draft in the first round. You got to figure out a way to get Clowney healthy for that last quarter of the season or the playoffs, you know, wherever you're looking at your schedule and thinking, we got to add this guy.
Yeah, so both these teams hope to be, you know, building toward the postseason, toward contending, hanging around the AFC. I know Buffalo just had an impressive win. Baltimore has been mostly really good. I still look at the AFC, Charles, and I think it's Kansas City and everyone. I mean, when it comes down to it, we get the postseason. Okay. But let me ask you about the NFC. Who is the best team in the NFC?
Good luck. figured. I mean, it's that is a division where, you know, I think your AFC read is completely accurate. I think the Chiefs have kind of put themselves on a plateau above everybody else. But again, I think this is also, once again, when you talk about the Colts game, this is where the Titans can kind of establish themselves firmly in that second tier and figuring out what are the pieces that are going to make them better. The NFC, I mean, you just look across the board and all the good teams, there's some kind of a fundamental flaw. Everybody at some point has shown, you know, Seattle's defense is prone to giving up a lot of points. They're adding pieces, obviously, right now. We'll see, you know, how Dunlap works out long term. We'll see if Jamal Adams returning, you know, to the roster can do something for them. But, you know, that was a team I thought could have added a corner. Didn't do it, has had, you know, issues there, and defensively could end up having issues long term. You know, New Orleans has been I think they've been up and down. I think New Orleans sort of has the disease that Tampa Bay does, where teams know that both Drew Brees and Tom Brady, and I think Brady really showed it in that game against New Orleans, you hit these guys and the effectiveness of them as quarterbacks declines pretty quickly. And they're not, when you look at the upper echelon of quarterbacks this year, and I would put Tannehill in that group, they're not these guys who can manufacture plays, who can, you know, create things with their legs, who can be, you know, just give that extra dimension for defenses to worry about. They're the old, you know, they're really that old school bunch of quarterbacks where they're stationary guys. You hit them, you get in their face often enough. If you can figure out a way to bring middle pressure in the line, you know, they're going to have issues. I mean, Green Bay, maybe if you want to talk about the team that to me has probably, maybe not defensively, hung, you know, the longest and really Seattle. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, it's weird. Like, he's playing so far beyond what I thought, you know, he could really reach this season. I felt like this is a guy who's in the winter of his career. They didn't add a lot around him offensively, and yet they're figuring out, you know, beyond Davante Adams to make a lot of role players, make that offense just more functional than I ever thought. I watched him in the NFC. I was at the NFC Championship game last year. I looked at Rodgers, and I'm like, man, this guy's a function now of the players around him. And he completely reversed it. All those guys, other than Adams, I mean, Adams was great, but all those other guys are a function of Aaron Rodgers looking as, I mean, he looks like he's, I don't know, the 32, 33-year-old Aaron Rodgers, where we were like, man, this guy's unbelievable. How long can he do this?
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And obviously, Charles, some big news last week that you broke with the Raiders being fined $500,000 by the NFL, Gruden being fined $150,000, and the team being stripped of a sixth-round draft pick. Just kind of take us behind the scenes of how the NFL came to that decision there with the Raiders.
I mean, the Raiders just kept screwing up. I mean, I don't really know other way to put it. I mean, they've had so many issues with, you know, obviously John Gruden with, you know, the mask stuff on the sidelines early on, having told, you know, the Raiders being one of those teams where they just, the league sent the memo out and made sure to remind everybody, hey, get it right. John didn't. And then, you know, the Darren Waller event where all the charity event where all the pictures surfaced of all the players, you know, not socially distancing, not wearing masks. Trent Brown has just been, you know, you talk to people in the organization and they're like, he's the gift that keeps giving, like in the worst possible way. Like they're paying him all this money. He's gone on the COVID list twice now. And the last one, it was, you know, he wasn't wearing his tracking device. And so it gave them all these issues with contact tracing. And I'll tell you what, that is one thing that I think the league, as irritated as they are about masks and having to constantly ride people out masks, they do not play around with the contact tracing thing. And if, you know, I can just say the remainder of this season, when teams get into some trouble and if there's a player who's not wearing his tracking device, and particularly, and appeared Trent Brown was, it was like willful violation. Like he just wasn't doing, didn't want to do it. And that really irritated the league, and I think that was what caused them to fine the Raiders so heavily and then fine John. And, you know, Gruden's furious about this, but I think the league is looking at head coaches and saying, like, hey, look, you're the one who stands up in front of the players. And so if you have a guy who does something like not wear his tracking device, and when you go to do contact tracing, it creates all these problems. Like, you don't even – you have to quarantine your entire offensive line and then really not even know. Maybe there are other people out there that he was in contact with that, you know, you have to go through all this footage, and it just creates a mess. So they just told the Raiders, like, we're sick of this. We're tired of it, and if this – we're going to keep graduating fines, and other teams are going to have to see this and figure it out. And after I wrote the story, what was interesting is just the number of other, like, general managers or front office people that were texting, just like, whoa, like, this is – it clearly made people sit up and go, okay, they're not playing around. Like, they're going to keep ratcheting up these fines. What was funny, though, was they sent out that memo on Tuesday about the enhanced, you know, COVID protocols, and, hey, if, you know, they really hammered down on this mask thing where it's like, hey, if the game ends and people are talking to each other on the field, they have to wear masks. They even, the word must have masks, and they underlined it. Nobody did it. it was like it didn't even exist. And the thing was, they said, you're going to be held accountable. There's going to be a level of accountability for teams that don't do this. I don't know what they're going to do now, because almost nobody followed it. So I guess I'm waiting to see if there's, you know, the owners are meeting today virtually. I'm waiting to see if there's a, you know, the commissioner saying to the owners, like, hey, you need to get together with your teams, and we're serious about this. We're going to give you one warning on this, and if this happens again next week, we're going to start fining. And there might be a en masse fining of like 20 teams next week if that happens again.
Hey, I want to go back to Titans real fast, Charles. You talking about what they can do to improve, and Clowney, certainly agree. I mean, if it, the knee's been bothering him all year, so maybe he's out for a bit and comes back, right. But there's really nothing else out there. I want to throw three guys who I don't believe are retired, but who may potentially be able to help a team. Of course, Cam Wake is a guy the Titans signed, and you know, he had a serious injury. He was done. He's out there. Clay Matthews, I actually didn't realize he's only 34. I swear he's like 40, but he's out there. Yeah. And then Terrell Suggs. Any of those three guys you think remotely possible, maybe if not for the Titans, for anyone, that they could possibly be back in this league at any point?
I think Matthews is washed. I really do. You know, just I think when he was with the Rams on his way out the door, I talked to some personnel there, and they were just like, yeah, they didn't feel like he really had anything left. You know, Wake, I don't know. It really, to me, Tack McKinley is a guy who, you know, the Atlanta Falcons cutting him loose. I think what's interesting about Tack is that I remember when the Falcons played the Cowboys, and he absolutely gave them everything that they could handle. And after they ended up winning that game, I was talking to some of the Cowboys, and he was like, we kind of got lucky that McKinley got hurt, because their right tackle could not handle the guy. And it changed the entire complexion of how their offense could function once he went off the field. Now, what's interesting about McKinley was the Falcons, I talked to some other teams, and they were like, we offered them something for Tack, and they turned it down. And then the Falcons cut him because McKinley was so upset he didn't get traded, and, you know, chirped, obviously, at the organization. And so you have these teams that are like, and I've asked them, like, are you putting in? Are you going to put in a claim on him? And these teams are like, yeah, but we think a lot of the league's going to claim him. Like, I talked to an AFC team that was interested in him, and they're like, we think half the league could put in a claim on him. Now, what's interesting is you do see some teams now putting in claims on guys and then dealing them. And I think McKinley is a guy that you could have some teams that are putting in claims and then calling other teams saying, hey, did you offer the Falcons something? If you did, we're going to claim the guy, and we're willing to trade him to you. And so I actually think that McKinley could be a guy that could help. You know, he's got talent. You know, I think it was just a situation where he started to tune guys out. I don't think he would be super expensive in terms of, like, maybe flipping something for him if the right team, you know, puts in a claim on him. But as far as the guys that are off the field, I'll be honest with you, man, I don't know. I have no idea what these guys have, other than the one out of that trio that you gave me. The one guy I remember having a really long conversation about was Clay Matthews, and the Rams dealing with him really came out of that feeling like he was really done.
And now, Charles, Ben Roethlisberger of the Steelers placed on the reserve COVID list. Now two quarterbacks in the AFC North on that list. So COVID continuing to impact this NFL season.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the and particularly with the quarterbacks. Now, what's interesting is after Matt Stafford, he's had a, you know, Matt Stafford had a couple false positives, and that's, it's the first thing teams are asking is, like, is this a false positive? Like, let's make sure, let's test it out over a couple of days and find out, you know, whether or not these are false positives or not. But this is what's really interesting about COVID with the NFL is when you talk to teams and you say, we're continuing to move forward and the league's not really, the league has stopped sort of panicking at all in terms of the league office. It's like, they're not really panicking at all unless there's a massive outbreak. And I've said, like, how do you, like, when you talk to the league or you're kind of having these discussions about what to do when certain things happen, like, what is this like now? And I've had a couple of teams tell me basically the indication we've gotten is, hey, we increased your practice squad size. Treat it like an injury. Like, it's just treat it like an injury. If somebody has COVID, make sure it doesn't spread and treat it like a, hey, you know, the guy's out this week because he, you know, he dinged his knee or whatever. Like, it's weird to say that, but that's kind of how the NFL has pushed teams to operate. Like, hey, you lose, you come out of games sometimes, you lose 3-4 guys. Like, COVID should be no different. If you're midweek and you lose 3-4 guys, you better have the you know, street free agent list and the in-house, you know, resources to deal with that. That's how the NFL is sort of pushing teams to start to look at COVID. Just don't let the massive outbreak happen. But if the one-off happens, and even if it's a quarterback, sometimes you lose quarterbacks for a week. Deal with it and move on.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Charles, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate you taking time to join us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. When we come back, we'll react a little bit to the breaking news in the NFL with Ben Roethlisberger going on the reserve COVID list for the Steelers. Also get back into the Titans as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.